Congregation and to speak to you this morning. It's really special. I got to do that last October, and that was a lot of fun, at least for me. I hope you glad you showed back up today knowing I was coming. I left my Bible sitting down there. Could somebody bring me my Bible? That's what I do these days. I leave stuff all over the house. Don't know where it is. My cell phone. Well, you can bring that book too, yeah. This is The Guilty Soul's Guide to Grace. I wrote it to straighten my own self out. I feel guilty most of the time, so only by the grace of God do I not feel guilty. Thank you, God, for helping me to feel safe. By the way, that last song, everything starts with God and with our walk with God, folks. He's our Father. He wants to be our Father. Jesus wants to be our big brother. And by the way, it says in the Bible, he's not ashamed to call us his sister, his brother. Hey, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, even though you know us. And you're still not ashamed of us? Yeah, he loves us that much. But after we become a son of God and a brother to Jesus, what happens next? He says, well, I want you to be brothers and sisters with each other. The first commandment is what? Love God. That's the most important thing. Be close to him. It all starts there. That's the foundation. But what's the second commandment? He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's what you all are talking about right now. And that's a good thing to do. Let's start with walking with God. Let's never stop doing that. But then he says, learn to love each other. And so that's what you're talking about right now. And I wrote a book on it called The Seven People Who Help You to Heaven. Jesus is the only one who gets us to heaven. But he uses people to help us along the way. He uses us to help each other. Y'all with me on that? Can I? I'll call for amens, even if I don't earn them. I'll ask for them. Okay. And so let's learn how to be not only close to God but close to each other. One of the biggest mistakes we've made as humans is we've made the church kind of a Sunday morning event only. And I love Sunday morning event. It's special worship, rocking in here, and deep songs. There's nothing like that, but what else do we need? After this is over, we need relationship with God, but with each other that lasts throughout the week. God wants his church to be a family, not just a fantastic Sunday morning event. So let's make it a great Sunday morning or midweek or whatever else we do, but also close relationships with each other. Can we be equally close to everybody in this room? In heaven we will be, but not here. We don't have enough time. But let's form those close relationships among a few people and learn how to love each other. And what did Jesus say about that? He said, if you love each other, everyone will know you're really my disciples. And you know what else he said in his prayer in John 17? He said, if you love each other, it's going to help people to believe in God. Because there's not a lot of love. The world out there is full of anger and hatred and resentment and distance. When people in the world see a group of people that really love each other, how'd you do that? How? What? It's because of God. He's our daddy. Jesus is our brother. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and he's helped us. It's not about us being any different because we're naturally that way. It's the grace of God that gave us this. So let's thank God for it. So I talk about the seven people. By the way, it's not just seven individuals. It's seven categories of people. And I can mention what they are to you. It's the visionary. That's the person that sees us for who we can be by the power of God. That's the visionary. That's number one. Number two is the prophet. Now, we don't have prophets like Elijah anymore, but we have people that help us tell us the truth about God and his word. The encourager. That's what we're going to talk. I'm going to talk about that one today, by the way. I want to be encouraging to you. Number four is the advisor, the person that gives us wise advice. We need that. And we can learn, by the way, we need to not only have these, we need to learn to become them to others. Then the mentor, that's the person that walks along beside us and helps us to learn stuff, you know, and that's a mentor. Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything. We need people working with us, teaching us how to put God's word into our life in a personal way. We all need that. The learner, people that learn from us. We teach them. We help them along the way. And then the last one is the soulmate. Person that's your special friend. Not everybody can be that. It's unique people that understand us. We understand them. We're bonded together. and they're soulmates with us. By the way, just speaking about soulmates and friends, I got family members here today. I don't want to embarrass them by making them stand up, but I wish I could. My sister Evelyn is here, my sister Kay, her husband Buck, my brother John, I call him John Jr., but he's John, his wife Lucy, my cousin Fran, her son Michael. I'm so fired up. Speaking of encouragement, I'm going to be talking about that in a minute. These people all encourage me. I don't want you all to know that. Just thinking about you, being with you, knowing they're my family, and that they're here this morning is so encouraging to me. Thank y'all for coming. Oh, wow. Thank you. And I got a lot of other friends in this room. Now, the thing is, if I start mentioning it, I may leave you out. Don't want to hurt your feelings. So I got Ted Compagna here today from Fayetteville. My goodness, he's here to move his daughter, you know. But amen. Ted's one of my best friends. We've spent 6 months together in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Could I talk about A.B.? Could I talk about his wife? Could I talk about Steve Bowens, Kevin Younger? I could keep going. Gene Brandig. I could keep going. Go. I just left you out. Don't get hurt feelings if I left you out. I said, in heaven, our names will be written on our forehead. Won't that be good? We'll be able to recognize each other, even if we haven't seen each other in 30 years. Okay. All right. Discouragement. Okay. I'm supposed to get a thing up here. There we go. Oh, the encourager. That's what we're going to talk. I'm going to talk about chapter 3 in the book, the encourager. All right, let's go. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If it's encouraging, then give encouragement. Now, what do I mean about the seven? Should we all be encouraging? Yes. But are some people especially gifted at it? Yes. There's some people that just walk in a room. You light up my life. They just light up the whole room. My wife, Jerry, is that way. She walks in the room. Hi. She walks into my life. Hi. I'm sitting there like this. She's like, yeah. I'm trying to be like her, y'all. It's been 46 years, and I'm still learning to smile like her. My sisters, Kay and Evelyn and Carol, are that way. My brother, John Jr., I need to be like them. I want to be more encouraging, but she's a smile. I said, he kept her blind until the day we got married, and she didn't know how ugly I was. But, you know, nonetheless, she's an encourager, and there are people that have a special gift at that, but we all need to be that way. But there are some people, folks, who God's going to use in a special way in his church and in your personal life that way, the encourager. What do I mean? Paul said, you got a special gift in that. Okay, here we go. Now, we're going to see the next verse. Now, what does the Bible say in Hebrews 3:13? Encourage one another daily. As long as it's called a day. Now, I know you probably never, preachers never get up in front and ask for questions and comments, but I'm going to right now. Why do we need encouragement every day? Be bold enough to tell me something here. Raise your hand. Just tell me. Why do we need encouragement every day? Shout it out, because my hearing aids may not work, okay? Life is hard. What did Jesus say? In this world, you will have trouble. Thank you, Jesus, for saying that. We all needed to know. He said, but what? Take heart. I've overcome the world. All right? World's troubling. Yes, ma'am. Okay. We have an enemy out there. You ever wondering why there's so much bad news in the world? It's because some of us have a hard time believing in God. We shouldn't have a hard time believing in the devil. Look at all the mess in the world. We have an enemy. He's against every one of us. He's trying to hurt us. What do we need? Encouragement. One or two more comments, and then unless there aren't any. Yeah, way in the back. We have kids. All right, now let me help my brother out with that, because I have four, and we had them, and I was all excited. But then when I was trying to raise them, what to do? I said, Jerry and I are working on four PhDs, Elizabeth, David, Jonathan, Alexander. They've never been awarded yet. I said, how did we create four different kids with the same DNA pattern? Well, each one had a different personality. Some kids are easy to get along with, some are not, you know, for each one of us. And what do we need? We need encouragement when we're raising kids or when we're a husband or a wife. By the way, because we may make mistakes raising kids or being a husband or a wife, does God cast out marriage? Does he cast out parenting and say, you're no good at it, we won't stop it? No, what does he try to do? He tries to teach us how to do it right. I've had to learn so much about it being a husband. If Jerry were here, she'd be saying, yes, he does, and he still does. I'm still learning how to be a husband. Now I'm learning how to be, I had to learn how to be a good dad, but I needed the Bible to teach me. I needed the strength of the Spirit, and I needed to repent of stuff I did wrong. But God, thank you, God, you taught me, and you're still teaching me now how to be a granddaddy and a daddy of a 37-year-old son. And by the way, we just moved to South Carolina to be with my son, David. He's up there. He leads the Grand Strand Church there. And first time I've not been on church staff since 1971. By the way, you think about discouragement. I'm like, God, you're going to use me now? What am I supposed to do? Okay, I'm just being open with you. But by the way, we're up there in the Carolinas. My son Jonathan's there in North Carolina. My son, my daughter Elizabeth's in Wilmington. So I got 10 of my 11 grandkids there. It's encouraging, but I'm going too much on this. Sam, get back. How much time have you taken here? You've already taken, okay, I got my timer working here. 10, 11 minutes. Okay, I got to get you out of here before 5 o'clock. I promise I will. Okay. All right, let's move on. Why do we need encouragement? The life is hard. We have difficult relationships sometimes to go through. We don't know what to do. We don't have wisdom. We need encouragers. We need advisors. We need help. Are they perfect? No. Are we perfect helping each other? No. Here's the theme, the secondary theme of this book is God's perfect plan, one imperfect person helping another imperfect person. Folks, none of us are perfect. Only Jesus was the perfect seven of these categories. But what does he do? He uses us to help each other, and he'll use you to help others. Will we make mistakes when we do? Yes. Will we need to ask for forgiveness? Yes. Will we have to extend forgiveness? Yes. Sometimes people don't even know when they've hurt us, and we got to be like Jesus. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. We will need, but let's not walk away from each other, folks, because we're not all perfect, okay? Even in God's church, people will make mistakes with you. Sometimes you want to, I'm gonna leave. No, stay in and work it out before the God, before the Lord. Let Daddy walk in the room and help his two kids to know how to get along. I'm wandering way off my notes here. I hope, okay, go with it, Sam. All right, here we go. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing. Let's encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, when you know, some of the times when I'm most feeling like I don't want to come to church is when I'm down, when I'm discouraged, or I'm upset about something. I don't want to be there. When do I most need to be there? I'm just talking about myself right now. That's when I need to show up. Why? Because I need encouragement. I'll go thinking, I need encouragement. I'll talk about that in a minute. But sometimes when they're most hurting, when they're most upset, that's when we most need other people. So let's keep coming. Let's stay in those relationships that we need and spur one another. It's mutual, back and forth. One another on to love and good deeds. And so let's come, even when we're discouraged. You know what? And not come, not even thinking, all right, I'm hoping people encourage me. Let's come saying, even if I'm a bit down, I'm going to encourage other people. You know what happens? What happens when we encourage other people, folks? Can you raise your hands and tell me? When we encourage other people, what happens? We get encouraged. You can raise your hand. Say, somebody want to say it individually? When we encourage other people, yes, Lindsay? We get encouraged when we encourage other people. Okay? Why? Why does that work? I know I'm taking a lot of discussion here, and this is more like a class than a sermon. Yeah.
Yeah, ourselves.
That is wise right there. We get our thoughts off how we're feeling and instead trying to build up somebody else. And you know what? We end up feeling better. Oh, why am I feeling better? Because you're feeling better. I helped you. What does the Bible say about that? Here we go. Be merciful, just as your Father's merciful. Do not judge, you won't be judged. Don't condemn, you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Here it is, folks, in red. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, poured into your lap. The measure you use, it'll be measured to you. I want to encourage us. Not only do we need encouragers, let's be encouragers, and we'll end up being encouraged. That's not the motive by which we do it, but the motive is out of love, to love others. But what does God do? He says, I'm going to encourage you. You're helping other people. Okay. All right, let's talk about, by the way, what does encourager do? They see us as we are, but they see us through the eyes of faith. You with me? They see what God can do in our lives even when we're down, even when we've had something hard happen, even when we're feeling bad about ourselves, even though they see our own, our weaknesses, or even our mistakes, or our faults. What do they see, though? They see the best part. They see the good part. They focus on who you can be, who we can be by the power of God. They say, it's like when Jesus met Simon. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. He says, you are Simon. Who are you going to be? You're going to be Rocky. You're going to be Rock. And he kept believing in that about Simon all his life. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But so they see us not just for where we're at, but for what God can do. Are they God himself? Do they see exactly what God is going to do? No, but do they believe in this passage? Yes, they're people of faith. All right, let's roll on. Here's Jesus. The greatest encourager that ever lived was Jesus. Simon, Simon. This is, he named him Peter, Rock, but now he's calling him his original name. Simon Barjona, Simon Johnson. Simon, Satan's asked to sift you. This is at the Lord's Supper. This is right before he's going to be arrested and crucified. I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus knew and sees us all with our weaknesses. But what does he see? I'm praying for you, and you can turn. You can come around. You can be a better person. He saw Simon make all kind of mistakes. He saw him say, I don't even know this man. But what did he do? He said he met him after he was raised from the dead and said, you love me? He said, yes. He said, go feed my sheep. He brought him back. He didn't cast him out. Folks, that's an encourager. They see our weakness. They even see us make mistakes, but they still believe the best in us. So even when you see, or I see, somebody else's weaknesses, let's see the best in them and know that God can make that happen. He says, come on. And what did Peter do? He turned back and he strengthened his brothers. What's Jesus doing now? He's no longer physically on earth in the sense of, you know, living here in a human, he's living inside of us as his born again disciples, but he's up in heaven. It said he's our merciful, look in the red verses here, he merciful and faithful high priest. He's sitting beside the right hand of God. What's he doing? He's able to help those who are being tempted. Folks, you being tempted? Yep. We all are. What does the Bible say about Jesus? He was tempted in every way we are. You know what that means? It means he understands what you're going through. Whatever, he says, well, hold it. He never was a mom. He never was a dad. He never was married. But he knows what the emotions are. He knows the struggles of those things. Even though he might have identically, he knows how you feel. And what does he do? He explains it to his Father. He's our intercessor. God says God is beyond being tempted by sin. He doesn't even know what that means. Jesus explains it. And he says he's our great high priest. And he's able to help those who are being tempted. Right now, when we're tempted, he knows. And he can help you. But what can he do? He can send you somebody to help you deal with it. He can send you somebody and say, oh, I've been through that too. You have? I'm not the only person. Oh, how'd you deal with it? And so they can help us. I've had people help me with so many things where I had a weakness. I shared it with them. I said, well, I do too. Really? Or some of them said, well, I don't have it, but let me help you anyway, Sam. Okay. Therefore, here it is. It says, we don't have a great high priest. Just look at the red part. We don't have a great high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in every way as we have without sin. Let us approach then the throne of grace with confidence so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When you go to Jesus in prayer, you go to God in prayer, He welcomes us. He says, I know you're struggling with temptation. You may have even sinned. Confess it. Admit it. I forgive you. Come on in. Let me help you overcome it. You know what Satan tries to do when he's the one that tempted you? He's trying to say, you ain't no good. You're being tempted. You're a punk. You're worthless. No. He's the one that tempted you. Tell him, get behind me, Satan. Yes, I was wanting to do it, but I want to be the new self. What does the Bible say? We have an old self, but we have a new self. The new self is the one that God made us to be. You know who the real you is? The new self. Folks, we all sinned, and that's true about us. But you know what? Our old self and your sins are not the truest and deepest thing about you. What's the deepest thing about you and about me and about all of us in this room? The deepest thing about us, we were created in the image of God. And when we are born again, what does it say? He creates a new self. This is the real you, the one He wants you to be. And He can help you. Will you still have to deal with your old self? What is it about? What does somebody say one time? The problem with a living sacrifice? He wants to crawl off the altar. We all get tempted. Jesus was tempted even right before He had to go to the cross. He said, I don't want to go. But what did He say? But God, I'll go if you want me to go. And He took three times praying, and He changed His mind, and He went to the cross for us. So it should encourage us all, folks, to know that even Jesus had to struggle to overcome temptation. You with me on that? Does that mean He didn't sin? That's the difference in Him and us. He never sinned, but He had to struggle with it just like you and I do. Okay, Sam, keep going. 22 minutes gone. We got to keep rocking here. Let's go. Barnabas, oh, here we go, folks. Let's talk about an encourager like you and me. Jesus never sinned. Let's talk about a human encourager named Barnabas. He was named Simon Barjona, Simon Johnson. What the apostles nicknamed him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Why'd they do that? It says he came and sold a field he owned and came and put it at the money at the apostles' feet. Well, he had a lot of, he gave money. You say, well, I don't have that kind of money, but you can still be an encourager, by the way, okay? Here we go. That the Lord Jesus, let me go backwards a little bit. Jesus, who's the great enemy of the church when it started? Saul of Tarsus. Why is he an enemy of the church? Because he believes they are false teaching about the Messiah. And a conscience for God, he's throwing them in jail and killing them. What does Jesus do? He's on his road, on the road to Damascus one day. Jesus appears to him. He says, who are you? He says, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Oh, what? Really? Yeah. He says, you know what? I want you to go out and preach the gospel all around the world. And he realized, and what does he do? For 2 days, he's blinded, and he heads to Damascus. He has friends taking him. And what does he do? He prays and fasts for 2 days. And then Jesus says, okay, I met him on the road, but I got more to do here. So what does he do? He comes to a guy named Ananias. Saul of Tarsus is heading to Damascus. He gets Ananias. He says, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. We know that ultimately Saul's going to go and stand before Caesar and tell him about Jesus. He got arrested. And then Ananias goes to Saul, who's still upset just 2 days after he saw Jesus on the road. He said, the God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and hear words from his mouth. You as be his witness to all men and what you've seen and heard. You're going to go around the world. He's going to use you in a special way to advance the gospel. And now what are you waiting for? Get up. Be baptized. Wash your sins away. Calling on his name. He saw Jesus on the road. He prayed for 2 days. Sinners need to pray. But what does he say? Yeah, you prayed, but now go get baptized. Wash your sins away. That's just who sent him to say that. Jesus did. Whoa, okay. Well, that's interesting. Okay, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. They were afraid of him, not believing he really was a disciple. He's been converted. He's been baptized. He's a believer. He comes to see Peter, John, James. They won't let him in the room. We don't believe you. Jesus says he's going to spread the gospel. They won't even let him in the room. What happens? Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles. This is the encourager. He said, y'all don't want to hang out with Paul? I thought he got baptized. I thought he's a true disciple. He's a believer. He's repented. We don't believe it. He's just trying to get in the room and arrest us and throw us in jail. He said, let me go talk to him. He does, and he gets convinced. What does he do? He comes walking in the room. Hey, brothers, this is Saul of Tarsus. Jesus met him on the road. He's spoken to him. He's already been preaching. You know what? He convinces them. Jesus converted him. Ananias baptized him. Now, the apostles won't accept him. How does Jesus connect him with the church? An encourager. Folks, God can do miracles in your life and in somebody else's life, but he still uses people to help us. It was Barnabas that brought him in there. Then what happens? They drive him out of the persecutors drive him out of Jerusalem. Where does he go? He goes back to his hometown of Tarsus. What's he doing? Sitting there. Is he probably sharing his faith? Yeah. Is he still a faithful disciple? Yes. But is he going all around the world preaching the gospel? No. Who told him he was going to do that? Jesus did. So how's God going to get him doing that? Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. That's what encouragers do. They come find us. Sometimes they bump into us at church. Amen. But sometimes he said if he found him, he brought him to Antioch. Antioch's this huge church. It's got thousands of members, or at least hundreds, maybe thousands. A lot of them are Gentiles. They're being converted. And Barnabas said, I want this guy to come help me. And Barnabas has helped leading this church. He goes and gets Saul and brings him there. And the disciples are first called Christians in Antioch. He said, well, get back. And so what happens? Then later on, Saul's there. Then what happens? God then uses the fact that he's there. We'll just read the part. The Holy Spirit said, look in the red part, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. This is the leadership team of the Antioch church's meeting, and the Spirit speaks to send them out to preach the gospel. Folks, what Jesus told Paul on that road is now going to happen. Why? Because he used an encourager to get him in the church, get him fellowshipped in the church, and then to bring him to Antioch, and now they're going to send him out, and he preaches and starts churches all over the world. Y'all with me on that? Do you understand the work of the encourager? God used somebody to get him there. Still God moving, but he used a person. So folks, let's know. God can use somebody in your life personally to help you. He can use you in your life personally to help somebody else. That's an encourager. By the way, I always say, what is discouragement? It's when my courage has been dissed for a long time. Folks, we all get down. I'll be open with you right now. Every time I write a book, and I'm writing a new one right now called Free Your Mind on How to Think Right, I'm not thinking right. I'm all worried. Like every time I write a book, I get all, it's not going to be any good. I just wrote a chapter and it's terrible. And Jerry always says, it's fine. I said, no, it's not. You know, Sam, where is your faith? I don't know, Sam, I'm feeling guilty that I don't have more faith, okay? But so anyway, I'm just saying, I need encouragement. You need encouragement. We all need it. There's some things that come back over and over to us. Let's be that for people. Let's get them in our life. God uses us. He wants to help us. Closing thoughts. Oh, Sam, you got closing thoughts here? Let's do closing thoughts. Okay, I can share some of the encouragers of my life. I could tell you about Anthony Battle, or AB, as he's known by some people. I remember coming and helping him to get in the ministry. I had to talk his mom into saying, yeah, he'll finish college, you know. But look at the encouragement he gives me now about all he's done with his life. Look at Kevin Younger, who was my fraternity brother down in Florida. And we were both converted down there. He's an elder here now. All right, Sam, you're starting to name. I could talk about Deb. I could talk about everybody. You know, I could even do the song that Steve and Deb always do for us. All right, here we go. All right. Yeah. Technology, terrible. It's not working. My phone won't let me help. Here we go. Settings. Shut off Bluetooth, Sam, so you can play a song. Bluetooth. off. Okay, when, if you don't see me in heaven, it will be technology that took me to hell. All right, here's the song that Steve and Deb always sing that makes me feel so good. They sing this. I sing it to my wife. It means me to my wife. Here we go. I'm going to act like I'm singing. Jerry, we're here. That's Jerry Lang. Here's her singing to me. Came from God. Not you, Sam. Yeah. Steve and Deb sing that song. They went on a marriage cruise with us one time, and I said, oh, y'all sing it. They did it in front of the whole boat. It was great. All right. I could do more songs than that. Last time I did Michael Jackson, you know, and I did the moonwalk, you know. When I first came into the church back when I was 15, the original church told me, you can't dance anymore. I said, I kept dancing, but I felt guilty. Now I've been reading my Bible and realized David said, dance. I hope you dance. I hope you dance. We danced a little bit at church this morning. Not sinful dance like we see out in the world, but praising God dance. Amen. We can do that, and we can be quiet and sing sweetly too. Okay, Sam, get back into your notes. What time is it? Okay. All right. See, I talked to myself. Here we go. Oh, 32 minutes. You've gone too long. Now I'm already feeling guilty. All right. Let me just read some bullet points here before the end. The example of Barnabas, we know what he did. Now let's look at just sort of see some of the ways we can be encouragers or get encouraged. Page 59, Sam, we get there. Come on, get out of here. Still got to have communion. I'll pray for that in just a moment. All right, here we are. The encouragers summarize. They believe in us when some other people don't. They believe in us when we don't believe in ourselves. They see the best in us even when we fall. They don't define us by our sins and weaknesses. They help us recover from our mistakes and sins. They reach out to us when we need it, when we're discouraged. They build us up in front of other people. By the way, it's good when an encourager not only does it privately, but they do it in front of others. Let me tell you some good things about this brother, this sister. Oh, they don't get jealous of us. They're happy when we succeed. They're like, you're better than me. No, they help us rise up, even when it means we surpass them in influence. Yeah, I've got people that I've brought into the kingdom that do a lot more for it than I do. And I'm like, well, thank you, God. I guess I'm Andrew. I got Peter here, and he did a lot more. Amen. But, folks, let's encourage one another. We're about to take communion now. Let's accept the encouragement that comes from the cross of Jesus Christ. He's ultimately our encourager, but let's remember him. Let's be thankful. And let's know that though we are all imperfect, he's made us perfect by the blood that's washing us clean. God sees us as forgiven, if we're in Christ today. Let's know that. And also, the body was not only that Jesus gave on the cross, but it's one body, as we sang in that song earlier. We are one body in Christ, and so we need to love each other. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this chance to remember Jesus who died for us, who's raised again, and now who lives at your right hand praying for us and whose spirit lives inside of us. Thank you, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This song is one of my favorites because in a world that pulls us in so many different directions, it reminds us that we should run after God with everything that we have. And so I pray that it's a blessing to you. There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for hearts that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. And bow down, let go of those idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. So give it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me. Love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants your all today. So give it all. You're all today, so give it all. There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for hearts that are desperate, longing for a child that will give them their all. Give it all, he wants it all.
At 5:30 every morning, that song goes off in my alarm, and it reminds me to give my life, give it all to Jesus today. And thank you, Jasmine, for that. That was beautiful.